Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations. The show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. We can book all your Disney travel needs. Contact us at americantouristtravel.com. And it's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to rent any of the DVC resorts, contact David's at David's Vacation Club Rental or DVCRequest.com. And now on with the show.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Dennis, John, Bob, and myself would love to wish you guys a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And please, guys, be safe. And we cannot wait to start the new year with all of our WDW Main Street Podcast family. Again, happy holidays, be safe, and hope all your dreams come true next year. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Yo, Dan, pull up that Christmas stool.
Ring-a-ding-ding. I was trying to think of a Christmas jingle, and I went totally blank.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
All right, jingle bells, jingle bells.
There you go, ding-dong. And then we're also joined by the yawning, the tired, the weekly pint master. Pull up a stool, John Peters. How you doing, John? Long week, huh, buddy?
Oh, yeah. It's a hectic week for Italian restaurants the week before Christmas. So, yeah, I'm glad it's over. So, the interesting thing is, though, just about everybody passed out a bottle of wine or a bottle of Prosecco. So, looks like I robbed a liquor store downstairs.
There's always a silver lining, John.
Exactly, right?
Now, could you trade some of that wine in for some beer? You'd be in a happy
land. I was wondering about that because I could definitely trade in that Prosecco for a six-pack of High Life somewhere. I would be a happy man. So.
Oh, there you go. There's our new website, Beer and Wine Trader. Beer and Wine Drinkers. Brenda, like my wife likes wine, but basically it's only white Zinfandel. We get all these bottles given to us, and we have like 20 bottles sitting there that we never open. I don't know. What about you, Den? Do you only drink one certain wine?
I once in a while I like a glass of Chardonnay, but I have a particular kind that I like, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It doesn't really matter, but Kendall Jackson, that's it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, people, you know, give you, you know, wine or you know, different liquors for gifts, and you know, the gesture is nice, and I'm not complaining, but you know, inevitably you always want to go back to your good old standby, whatever it is you like. So we end up maybe re-gifting them at times or just sit there, you know. But I get your point. I'd rather trade everything I have for the stuff that I know we're going to use.
Absolutely. It would be nice if you could just go in and trade in. If you can, let us know, because we end up cooking with most of it, like a lot of
it. Yeah, that's what I use a lot of ours for, too. So yeah,
that's a great idea, Doug. But as you know, though, usually when you're cooking, you use, you know, very little or a couple ounces or whatever it is, and you hate to open up a whole bottle of wine for that. Even if you recork it, I mean, unless you're going to drink it in the next couple of days, it really doesn't keep very well.
Yeah, the bottom line, though, is it's better than it's sitting there because we have a couple wine baskets, and they sit there, and I just look at them all the time when I'm walking into the kitchen, like, are we ever going to drink these? Because I'll pick Brenda up her Barringer's White Zinfandel, and I'll put it in the wine basket, and all I notice is the same two bottles leaving. And, you know, when it's refilled, then all the other ones stay there, but it's all good. It's Christmas time. It's nice that somebody gives it to you. Just wish they knew what you drink. Yeah.
What's that? What do they do when somebody gets married? They have a registry and people can go online and see what they need or want. So you got to set that up for your wine and beer.
Well, I really think like at big offices, They should have, like, you know, computers, you know, everything is like Facebook, the whole nine yards. They should have workbook. Where you put all the things you like. I like Pepsi. I like long walks. I like Wawa Hoagies. I enjoy White Zinfandel. I like a Peroni. And list all your favorite things. So if somebody has to get you something or do something for you, they actually know what to buy you. What do you think about that idea? Disney gift cards are always welcome.
Yeah, I was going to say two words, Disney gift cards, and then I cover it, right? So.
But, you know, I mean, it would be nice if they kind of knew what everybody likes were, your likes were, to make it easier to give out gifts. And I know I would like that.
Well, you know, we kind of touched on it last show, I think. And I can remember years ago, I was a trendsetter, or at least in my mind I was. And that I remember when gift cards first came out, and not even Disney gift cards, but even major gift cards or stores that had their own gift cards. And I used to think it was the greatest thing. I used to go around and get one as gifts at Christmas time for, you know, maybe not my wife, but, you know, any gifts that I had to buy. I was a big fan of gift cards. It was easy. You're in and out. It's something that you give to somebody that they can take and go get exactly what they want. You know, if I gave you a gift card, even the Home Depot, Doug, I know sometimes you don't get along with them, but you would find something to know, you know what you want there, you know, rather than me trying to think, oh, does he want a DeWalt or does he got a Milwaukee? You know, you would get more value out of getting the gift card. But I used to get criticized. I used to go, oh, well, you didn't put any thought into it. That's too easy. And, you know, some people gave me a hard time. But now, like we were talking last week on the show, gift cards are where it's at. I mean, every store has displays from top to bottom. And I don't know about you guys. I love getting gift cards, providing it's a store that, you know, I would buy something in.
No, I prefer it a lot of times for Depot and stuff like that, like you said, because I can go get exactly what I want. Yeah. But that's the point I was making with the work registry, like we were saying, like workbook. If you knew everybody's favorite store, it would make life a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Yep, it would.
Your favorite hobbies, I mean, it would just make life easy. And speaking of life easy, last night, man, I come in. I'm all anxious to watch my Eagles beat up on the Giants. They finally won again. And nice. I knew they were going to win because it was a division game and they were due, you know, and that's how it works. You know, the Patriots, the Jets stink, but they're still one of the worst games for them to play sometimes.
Oh, I'm sweating bullets. I'm telling you. I don't care how bad. You're right, Doug. Generally speaking, division games, you can throw the records out the window.
Exactly, because what people don't understand either is with division teams, they're all drafting to beat each other too. Each division's built to beat the other guys in your division. So that's why division games are so close, because you're drafting to compete with your division. So the teams are set up to compete against each other, and that's why they're usually really good games no matter what. So I'm laying in bed. I get all comfortable, and my wife goes down to do laundry, and she goes, "Didn't we change the hot water heater recently?" I'm like, "Yeah, what are you trying to say here?"
No,
she's not good.
She goes, "There's water all around it." I'm like, "Really?" And she goes, "Well, don't worry about it now." I'm like, "What do you mean, don't worry about it?
Right.
So I go running down the basement, and here it's not the hot water heater. It's the boiler that has water all around it. The boiler's only 3 years old. And that's even a lot more money than the
– Yes.
You know that deal.
You'd rather have it be the water heater if it had to be one of the two.
Exactly. So what it ended up being, though, there was a pipe that come out of the hot – you know how the cold goes into the hot water heater and the hot comes out? Well, the pipe runs – because they sit by each other. The hot water pipe runs across the top of my boiler. Here, there was a pinhole in it, and the pinhole is shooting water all over the service panel. That control – the breaker – know how you have one main breaker above your boiler to shut the power on and off? That was getting soaked with water all around the outside of the metal box. Has water being shot on it's shooting onto the ceiling and then dripping on top of this outlet.
Wow.
So 9:30 or 8:45 last night, I'm downstairs redoing all the plumbing around my basement. So I'm hoping that's the last thing to deal with before the Christmas holiday.
What is this boiler thing you guys are talking about?
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Mr. Air Condition Only down there?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you don't – do you have forced air heat, right, John?
We don't even turn it on. My wife's got a little space heater that if it's a chilly morning, she'll throw on for an hour or two. Other than that, I don't even like to. I hate switching the systems back and forth all the time, because that's what's going to happen here in Central Florida. You have a chilly morning, you'll turn on that heater, and it'll back up the AC, and then, you know, you get all that problem. I'd rather just have the AC, because 2 days later, you're going to have to turn the AC on anyway. So, yeah, we just use a little space heater when it's a chilly morning to leave the HVAC system alone and just run AC. So,
my wife is set on, even though we moved to Florida, she still wants a fireplace. So we're going to see how that works out.
Well, that'll be the least of your worries, right? At least you'll be going to Florida. You'll figure that one out.
Exactly. But February you could burn it, couldn't you, John?
There's a couple of days. I mean, you ought to see the stands fly up when somebody knows that, you know, you get the weather prediction a couple of days early. All of a sudden, you'll be coming home that night, and it'll be 55 degrees, 50 degrees, and there'll be a stand selling firewood on every other corner. There'll be somebody trying to sell firewood, and then, you know, the next day they have to leave, but for that one day, they're selling. So. But,
what I wouldn't give for 55 degrees and thinking about putting the firewood on. Holy moly. We ain't going to see 55 degrees again for a long time, are we, Dan?
We're just starting, right? Because we haven't really got into it. A couple of days were, you know, brutally cold, but nothing. We still got a whole winter in front of us, unfortunately.
So let's speak about some summer. You want to head down to Disney World? We'll let John start off. BNC, he was too busy. So he says, we think he was doing another podcast, but BNC said he was too busy to join us the other night. We want him to do his perfect Christmas day. So how do you want to start, John? You want to give us your – go with the resort like we told you. What resort would you stay at?
Well, unlike you guys, you said you thought about this one, but – I'm going ahead and spending that money. I'm staying at the Polynesian Bungalows. I'm going to take my little Christmas light strand that I have for our resort holiday stay, and I'm going to throw them on the balcony out there, and I'm going to turn my lights on. I'm going to sit in the cool tub, because it's probably going to be about 84 degrees. sit in that cool tub and watch the ferry boats go back and forth. So it'll be a good evening. So
maybe if you get lucky, you'll get to see the electric water pageant too, John.
That would be pretty sweet, wouldn't it? Yeah, maybe that'll be Christmas Eve. So then Christmas morning, I can get up and head over for my day. Going to eat breakfast at Kona Cafe, because I want my
fresh coffee. Oh, my God. Yeah, you have no idea how good this is. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not telling you anything anymore, because you don't.
Oh no, dude! I can let you go for that. Anymore. No, I bet you I'd like that better. A lot of people like that. I'm not going to complain about that. But I have to be honest with you. Would you rather tell me, "Oh, John, I love Le Fin du Mont" when I hate it? Or would you rather me be honest with you?
That's fine. The whole monkey pee thing, it was a bit excessive, but okay, all right.
I just chill. I honestly called up the Philadelphia Zoo. I had them get some for me, and I chilled it. And it was actually better on the rocks.
Oh, goodness gracious. But, all right, so I'm eating at Kona Cafe. I'm going to get that press pot of coffee and that Samoan, because that's probably my favorite breakfast in all of Walt Disney World. And the wife just gets the bounty platter pretty much, which is there. But, I mean, like you guys were saying, you know, for a couple of bucks more, you actually get to eat and have people bring you the food, and you can get your eggs cooked to order rather than just the scrambled tray that you get in a food court.
So, you feel like it was an experience. It was a nice dining experience. It adds to the trip compared to running to the food court and just slamming food down your throat.
Absolutely. It more than just filling the, you know, a lot of times, like what we say is, you know, if it's a busy day and you just have that hole in your gut, you're just filling the hole with something. It really doesn't matter what. And a lot of times when you're running to the counter service, that's what you're just doing. You're just filling the hole up. So, you know, when you sit down to eat, and especially at some place like that, it's more of a enjoyable experience, you know. So.
No, absolutely.
Now, John, you don't like the Tonga toast, or you just prefer the Samoan better?
I had the Tonga toast one morning, and it was I wouldn't say way, but it was too sweet for me, and it was just too too many car. It was almost like I felt like I was carb loading. There was something.
Yeah, it's very
to it.
Yeah, very rich, and I could see where somebody would have that opinion because they dip it in sugar after they're all done. So I can see that. I'm just curious because a lot, you know, most people rave about Tonga Toast when they mention Kona Cafe.
See, we've even made it here, but what me and Brenda do is we split it. Like we'll get it like as an extra to have it as like kind of a breakfast dessert. If that makes sense, after you're done eating, just to have a few bites of it. That's how we enjoy the Tonga Toast. And the same thing here, we've made it for Christmas a few years. And it is sweet, but we make it into smaller portions after we're done.
Yeah, I could see, like, if my son was there and we got maybe just one or two of the pieces and then cut them in half and stuff like that. But trying to eat most of that by yourself, that's just way too much. I felt like I didn't need a sweet for about 2 weeks afterwards. So.
No, that's a great idea, though. And, you know, to your point, I'll have to try the Samoan next time I eat at Kona because I haven't tried that yet. So what describe that dish, John. What exactly is it?
It's poached eggs, isn't it?
It's a pork hash, pulled pork hash with poached eggs over the top of it. And it's got the pork hash has been kind of like crisped up, you know, maybe in the oven, or either they fry it just slightly and it gets some little crispy crumbles in it and stuff like that. And it's fantastic. I love corned beef hash. And if you like corned beef hash, you like this, because you think of pulled pork and you're thinking of like barbecue and stuff like that, but it's not that. It's more of a roasted pork, and it's just fantastic. So
yeah, we have to get over and try that then.
Yes. Yep. I think that might be a location for our WDW Main Street breakfast on our next trip down there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, the first time I got it, it just comes with the hash and a couple of poached eggs, and it was filling but not quite all the way. And the next time I got it, I got just a side order of toast with it. And that was just enough to really get you full. So that went perfect with it. So, yeah, if you can just grab the side order of toast, it's good to go. So,
see, that's what I was saying, like, with the Tonga Toast, right? Say, like, four of us went down to have breakfast. We all order our breakfast. You get the poached, you get the Samoa, you get the two eggs any style, because that's what your wife gets, right, John?
Two eggs, any
style with the hash browns and all. So you all get an order, and then you order a thing of Tonga Toast, like an appetizer for the plate, for the table. And you cut it in four pieces, and that would be perfect to end the meal with.
Great idea.
Absolutely.
So that's the way I say you guys do it from now on. And I think you'll really enjoy it more. Because that's one of those things, less is more, but it's awesome when you do it. The first couple bites are phenomenal. And then after that, John, it gets a little too much.
too much. And it's funny because the other thing they have at, down right around the corner, of course, at Ohana is that banana bread pudding. And that stuff's pretty rich, but man, I could just sit and eat that for. I do too. Whatever they put in front of me, I have a bad habit of trying to eat every bit of it. So
that was part of my demise last time when I swore off buffets. That was the pudding did it to me.
You can't help it, right? I mean,
right? It's so good, and you know you should stop eating. Your body has already told you 15 minutes ago to stop eating, and yet you're still doing it.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what, like, there are some deals. This is why we try to tell everybody to give them information on the show, like we were just saying with the prices. Like, you got the Big Kahuna, French toast, pancakes, topped with pineapple sauce, macadamia nuts, butter, eggs, home-fried potatoes, ham, bacon, and sausage for $14.
Wow.
There you go.
That's not bad.
How do you go wrong with that?
Well, the last time that me and Lisa ate there, we ate breakfast. She had the platter with the two eggs any style. I had the Samoan, the pressed pot of coffee, the side order of toast, and then they actually do the 20% off annual pass holder. So without the tip, our total was $33.75. So I mean, you know, if you go downstairs and you order two bounty platters and two coffees, you're spending what, $25-$26 at least.
Pretty close. Yep.
I mean, me and Brent, if Brenda wanted to order the aside, I mean, we could split the Big Kahuna. Because she loves pancakes. I really don't. She wouldn't eat the ham or the sausage. She'd have a slice of bacon and a couple potatoes, and I mean, a couple eggs, and she'd be done. If you follow me, I mean, that's how much is on this plate for $14. You could actually,
right.
I mean, you'd feel like an idiot going there and splitting something like that. I know I would. I would never do it. But if you really wanted to, you could. That's how much food is on that plate.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that's why we often do things the way we do it too, because I would always feel guilty that the waiter or waitress would think I'm trying to lessen the bill to cheap out on a tip.
No.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I know it's not true, but I'm thinking that they're thinking that, so it bothers me.
I think the same way, Dan, but Brenda could order something small and not to hurt anybody, like a side of oatmeal for $6 or and just share half of mine and we'd be happy there.
Right, right.
Because we couldn't eat. If we ordered two of them, we'd never make it.
Right.
So where are you going for lunch?
All right. So after that wonderful breakfast, since this is going to be the Christmas day, we're going to head over to the Liberty – or no, it's not the Liberty Inn, which the one at the Magic Kingdom.
God forbid, Liberty Tree Tavern.
No, not that one. Help me out. The one in Liberty Square in the Magic Kingdom.
That's Liberty Tree Tavern.
Liberty Tree. I thought that was the one in Epcot.
No, Liberty Inn is the Epcot one.
Okay. The Liberty Tree Tavern. There we go. So yeah, we're gonna have the holiday dinner with all the fixings for our Christmas dinner right there. And especially now, since I can probably get me a Sam Adams while I'm eating that turkey dinner. So
Go ahead, say about the turkey.
Trip the fan, Pat's going to make me tired, buddy.
Yep.
But it's okay to be tired this day. You're really not worried about it. You're going to have ultimate fast pass, so it's really not going to matter for you.
There you go. So we'll cover our holiday dinner there, and then for dinner, we're going to finish the evening at Le Cellier and get my nice bone-in ribeye. Lisa's going to get the filet with her mushroom risotto. Last time we were there, they had rock shrimp as an appetizer, but I don't think it's on the menu anymore. No, they were fantastic. But, of course, get some cheddar cheese soup. And, of course, I'm going to enjoy that Le Fin de Mon with that steak. So.
I heard they stopped selling Le Fin de Mon as beer there.
Yeah, right. It's Christmas, I'm gonna sneak something in. Seeing as it's Christmas, I'm going to have the Candlelight Processional dinner package. So I'm going to be able to finish dinner there and head over and catch the Candlelight Procession.
Who's the narrator?
Probably want to see Whoopi Goldberg or Doogie Howser. What's his name?
Doogie Howser. My God. I can't even remember his name right now. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I'll think of it in a minute.
See, that's what happened after I said Doogie Howser. That's all you could think of.
What are you going to add, the Black Angus ribeye?
Yes.
Okay, the bone-in ribeye. You got to call it the way it is, the Black Angus ribeye. You prefer that over the filet?
Yeah, I love a ribeye. It's my favorite cut of meat. I'm not a big tenderloin fan.
It's Neil Patrick Harris, so you guys know. Yeah, it just came to me. Oh, holy moly.
I much prefer a ribeye over a filet. So.
So you're staying in the parks for your lunch and dinner, and you're doing your breakfast over at Kona. So you're going to be on the monorail loop the whole day. Go figure. You're going to be at Epcot one of your days, John.
I know. How strange, right?
I'll tell you what. What is awesome there too is. And I don't get it all the time, but have you ever had the loaded mashed potatoes at Le Cellier?
Oh, yeah.
they're the same way.
It's a meal in itself.
Yeah, yes, it's the same thing as the Tonga toast, man. Have you ever had the loaded mashed potatoes, John?
I can't remember what I probably did, but I must have had something else because I don't remember what I had with my steak the last time. So it must have not been them because they sound like I would have remembered them.
No, they come with fingerling potatoes, the ribeye does. But the loaded mashed potatoes has the Nusky bacon, black diamond cheddar, chives, and potato skin crisps. They're $9. It's kind of like the same thing as the Tonga toast. That literally, every bite you take, you feel like it's killing you. You can feel arteries. You can literally feel arteries clogging on you. Am I wrong, Dan?
Yeah, it's super rich with sour cream, everything you read, and all the cheese, and it is awesome though.
It's phenomenal. It's one of those things where you can only have it really on vacation. It's kind of like we go to the Franklinville Inn around the corner from me, and they have this twice stuffed baked potato. It's stuffed with all kind of cheddar and everything else, and Brenda lets me get it, and I know it's the only one I'm getting for maybe a year or two, but it's just that good. Every bite you take, it's like, enjoy it, because you're not getting another one for a long, long time.
Makes it worth the wait.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, the loaded mashed potato there is really, really good. The other thing that's really good too, have you ever had the smoked macaroni and cheese?
I think somebody got that. I didn't order it, but I'm pretty sure I've had a bite of it. Because I've had, I'm not going to say everything on the menu, but we ate there so much early on, or, you know, once we started doing ADRs, that we've had a good run at that menu.
Yeah, you've nailed the menu pretty good.
Yes.
John, have you ever had those mac and cheese?
No, I haven't tried those either. So.
No, and their seared scallops are phenomenal too. We get them for the appetizer quite a bit.
Yeah,
I think we did have those one time. So
so good. Let's go to the cellier, guys. We'll meet you, John, in 17 hours. No, actually 23, because Dennis has to get here first.
Right. I need a 6 or 7 hour head start here.
All right. Well, I'll make ADRs for 7:30 tomorrow night. How about that?
Okay.
We should make it there if we're still awake. Just give me a lefindam. Just give me a lefindam. It'll wake me up. Smelling salts. So what's going to be your three fast pass, John?
All right. I thought about these long and hard, and I kind of thought that I would take the three. Well, one of them I'm going to do is the Haunted Mansion, because every time I ride that, I see something new. So I'm thinking if I did it 10 or 12 times, I would probably still be able to catch something new that I didn't notice the last time, especially in the attic scene with the bride, you know, she,
right.
Different things that you see in there. It's so interesting, so fascinating, that and the dance floor. And I think that is probably my favorite attraction in all of Walt Disney World. So definitely that one. And then the other two I picked because every time there's going to be a different experience. I'm going to go on Kilimanjaro Safaris like Bob, and I'm going to probably start that about 3 o'clock, end up doing a daytime ride one or two, and then we'll hit a dusk, and then we'll finish it around 6:30 with a pure nighttime ride. So I get a nice mix, and hopefully see the lion prancing around like Doug was saying. And then the last one
you get to
one
see
would be
that
Star
it's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm really looking forward to. And the last one would be Star Tours, because of the different random assortments of film clips you could see in there, and especially now they've added some from the new movie and stuff like that. So I'm thinking I could probably ride that 6 or 7 times with a different experience each time. So
sounds good, and this way you won't be buttoning the line on me on any of my rides, so I'm happy about that.
There you go.
He put a lot of thought into this, although he had the advantage of hearing our answers first.
I heard all you guys, and I thought about them and stuff.
I could hear him riding the truck, criticizing us, telling us what we did wrong, where we else we should have gone, and I know how he is.
Well, you pretty much got me there. That was yesterday morning. Oh, really? Oh, come on.
No, come on, Doug. You could do better than that. You have to admit, though, I did the best out of the three of us, right, John? Don't tell. We won't tell them.
No, I thought you had an interesting idea with the ones that you picked, because they were probably going to be the ones that you like that have the longest wait times. And then this way you could still, like you said, be able to run over to the TTA or run over to Carousel Progress and ride those too if you really wanted to, because the lines would be short. So.
But think about how cool it would be. Like, and it would be so mean. But could you imagine you hop off Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and then you go right back on right away again, and the same people see you going down the fast line, and you're going nanner 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 as you're getting back on the ride. But how cool would that be, or soaring, just keep going on and on and on again?
It'd be telling you you're number one, I'm sure.
Exactly. I'm number one all day, every day, if you were at my job site. So you want to get into some news, then? You did a good job, John. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a good day, John, down there. And it was fun to have that little exercise. Not that that will ever really happen, but it's fun to dream, right?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. It will be a beautiful day. And, John, another beautiful day. Speaking of that, before Dennis gets in the news, tell everybody where you're going tomorrow.
Well, I got a nice little bonus from my job this week. So I've got all the Christmas presents pretty much taken care of and stuff. So we're going to treat ourselves much like you and your wife did a couple of weeks ago when you went down to the Gordon Ramsay's restaurant. But living here in Central Florida, I don't have to go to no Gordon Ramsay's place. So I'm going to head over to the Boathouse tomorrow. I got 80 yards at 3:30 for a late lunch, early dinner. So.
Hey, Dan.
I am good. So Bob knows I am getting the firecracker shrimp.
Oh, if you didn't, you'd never live it down.
and you got to give him a review, I guess, of the Boathouse, what your opinion is of it, because Bob cannot write enough about the Boathouse. He'll write another article about it. He loves it so much that I don't think he'd have a problem. Be like me, everybody telling me how great Bangers and Mash are. So I'm sure he'll want another interview and take, as Bob would say, John, take plenty of pictures.
Yeah, I generally do nowadays. So yeah, I know we're gonna get that. And I think my wife is leaning towards the filet mignon sliders for an appetizers, and we'll switch some of those back and forth. And then for our actual entrees, I don't know yet. I'm kind of waiting to see what looks good on the seafood bar when we get there. So.
Yeah, keep all your options open, right?
Yeah.
Well, who mentioned the filet mignon sliders? Two thumbs pointing at this guy.
Hey, over there. Over there. I know Dennis was talking about what he had. What was the crab stuffed lobster?
Yeah, the crab stuffed lobster, yep.
That sounds fantastic. So I might be leaning that way, but I don't know just yet. So.
Now, well, whatever you order will be good. And if you have a chance, like we were saying on the show, get out to the bar there and take in the sights of the Boathouse before you actually eat, if you have time.
Now, Dan, every time he speaks and talks about going somewhere and breaking our you-know-whats about it, don't you just want to smack him? I don't have to go to no Gordon Ramsay's. I got 800 restaurants fingertips.
Just saying.
Just saying, you little brat. Nobody likes a show-off, John. So get into the news, then, before we get angry, even more angry at him.
I'm just trying to give you guys some incentive to get down here. So, you know.
Dude, believe me, I have all the incentive in the world. I just got to get rid of this house.
Yeah.
No, but John, all kidding aside, me and Dan, I know we both hope you have a fabulous time tomorrow. I mean, Merry Christmas, and hopefully you have the best firecracker shrimp they ever made there.
I hope so. After all this stuff, I hope my expectations aren't too high. You know, I hope I don't go in there because it's not a cheap meal. I mean, this is a pretty stout meal. So I'm hoping that it lives up to my expectations. So
even his adjectives are beer incentive stout. It's a pretty stout restaurant. You know,
It's a pilsner.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, let's go here. Epcot International Festival of the Arts brings Broadway stars to Walt Disney World. Ashley Brown and Josh Strickland are among the Broadway stars set to appear at Epcot's new festival. My iPad kicked out here, as per usual. Disney Theatrical Productions will bring a showcase of favorite music and Broadway talent to the American Gardens Theater stage as part of the Epcot International Festival of the Arts. Beginning January 13th, we're already by the holidays now, the event will take place on each weekend for 6 weeks through February 20th, 2017. Here is the lineup of Broadway talent scheduled to appear. January 13th through the 16th and 20th through the 23rd, Ashley Brown and Josh Strickland performing songs from Disney's Beauty and the Beast, Tarzan, Mary Poppins, and Little Mermaid. Then January 27th through 30 and February 3 through 6, Kerry Butler and Kevin Massey performing songs from Disney's Beauty and the Beast, Tarzan, Newsies, and Aladdin. February 10th through 13th and 17th through 20th, Kissy Simmons and Alton Fitzgerald White performing songs from Disney's The Lion King, Aida, Aladdin, and The Little Mermaid. Performances will be at 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m. Friday through Monday of each festival weekend. Elsewhere in Epcot, Future World Plaza will be also filled with a variety of other visual and live performances, including Epcot Living Statues performed by Central Florida High Schools and acclaimed university and college talent appearing through a partnership with Disney Performing Arts. Epcot's American Music Machine will perform on the Future World Fountain Stage. Either of you guys ever seen any of this festival? I have not, or maybe I didn't know it was going on, but I have never seen the Festival of the Arts or what it was before this.
Now, I think this is Dan, this is new. This is part of the whole wine and dine and festival, I think. I think it's all part of that. Well, know how they're doing the new art thing? I think it's part of all that now. I don't know if they've had it before. I've never heard of it either. Have you, John?
They used to call it Festival of the Masters, didn't they?
Yeah, that was at Disney Springs, but it was more of a just actual paintings and what you think of when they usually hear the word art. There's a bunch of tents and gazebos set up and stuff like that. It was more like an art show. So I think they just renamed it and put it at Epcot now. So
I see. So, yeah, then you're right, Doug. Then none of us have ever seen this before.
No,
it's the first one.
But it sounds very interesting. I'd like to hear them. I'd like to get my food on and hear some songs from The Lion King and Aida and stuff like that. I think it would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like they have what at Food and Wine and Flower and Garden. You have the Eat to the Beat, those other things. This is, I guess, kind of like that. It's the you know, the musical or the entertainment part of the this little festival. So yeah, I think you're right. There's you know, I'm sure there'd be a lot of songs you know well with all these movies and Broadway shows. It'd be pretty awesome.
Oh, it'd be very festive. I think it'd be really cool to actually hear. And I don't know if you agree with this, some of the Disney songs playing in Epcot. I know it's, you know, kind of against the whole Epcot thing as far as the characters and stuff there, but I think it would be cool to hear the music back there from Beauty and the Beast and all, you know, in the countries as you're walking around, as the ambiance walking around the park. I think it would be cool to hear the songs going on, just like you were saying with the Eat to the Beat and all. I don't always stop and hear the concert right up front or there at the – I don't go to the American Plaza there to watch it. But it is nice to hear the music playing as you're walking around World Showcase. So I think it's really cool.
Absolutely. Something new. Now, John, do you foresee yourself getting out to see any of this or not interested?
Well, if they have maps and passports, I mean, I got people depending on me to get stuff out to them. So
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll definitely – I don't know if we'll – intentionally go to see this, but we'll definitely be there, and I imagine we'll check out some of the stuff because that's probably, you know, we got like the three or four, I hate to rub it in some more, but the three or four best months of the year coming up is January, February, March to go to Disney, especially the end of January, beginning of February, because the crowds are low and the weather is beautiful. So
we might have to send his picture down to the security gate and tell him he's a troublemaker.
Don't let him in.
You see this guy, send his picture down when he went what is it, with the two squirrels. Who was that? Chippendale.
Chippendale.
Picture he sent us with Chippendale that he used to have on the site here. We'll have to send that picture down. If you see these three characters, don't let them in the park.
Three nuts.
Yes.
Let's see. Next story here. The Disney Parks Magical Christmas Celebration airs Sunday on ABC. The Disney Parks Magical Christmas Celebration airs Sunday, December 25th on the ABC television network, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Airtimes may vary. Check your local listings. And then on the ABC and the Disney Channel apps as well. Brother-sister duo from Dancing with the Stars, Julianne Hough and Derek Hough, will present the two-hour ABC special from the Walt Disney World Resort. The season's most eagerly awaited celebration culminates with the fan-favorite Christmas parade delivered by Disneyland correspondent Good Morning America's Jesse Palmer. Alisa Cara performs a Holly Jolly Christmas from Disney's Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World. Mariah Carey. Jeez, I can't say that. Performed one of the biggest selling holiday songs of all time, All I Want for Christmas Is You, from the Disneyland Resort. Sophia Carson delivers a new arrangement of Silent Night from her Disney Channel performance and also hosts from backstage at Walt Disney World Resort. Kelly Clarkson performs I'll Be Home for Christmas in front of Cinderella Castle at Walt Disney World Resort. Gavin DeGrock sings Merry Christmas Baby in front of Cinderella Castle at Walt Disney World. Jordan Fisher performs the Christmas song Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire from Disney's Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World. One Republic performs Kids from Disney's Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World Resort. Trisha Yearwood and Garth Brooks deliver in front of Cinderella Castle at Walt Disney World Resort, solo and duet performances from the new album Christmas Together. It's out now. So this is in lieu of the traditional parade, I take it, what we're going to get this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, anything to come on with Disney on Christmas Day, it's on the TV in my house. So, and they're telling me to pay attention to opening the gifts as the parade or whatever Christmas party's going on at the park. So I'm in. I'm looking forward to it.
I think we talked about this. I mean, we usually throw it on the, you know, DVR it or whatever. And, you know, you're right, Doug. It's just on in the background, and you're kind of not really paying attention. But if you see something interesting, you look. And with plans to look at the whole thing in more depth at some later time.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of mention of either Avatar Land, Star Wars Land, or Toy Story Land, because they use it as an infomercial. So I use it also to get any information I can or catch a sneak peek of anything that I haven't seen yet. So I'm all in.
Sounds good. Let's see what we have here. Holiday wishes fireworks at the Magic Kingdom. Walt Disney World has some incredible holiday fireworks shows with reflections of Earth, peace on Earth at Epcot, and holiday wishes at the Magic Kingdom. And if you're down there during this time, and Doug, you can speak to these, and John, I'm sure you've seen these shows many a times, or at least renditions of them. The fireworks shows tend to be a little more festive around the holiday season.
Yeah, they usually add, 4 or 5 minutes at the end to add a little bit to them, John?
Yeah, a little bit. And usually red, green, that type of, the holiday colors for the fireworks and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's your standard show. For the most part, it's your standard show, but with a little add-on to the end, especially at Illuminations at Epcot, so.
Yeah, because they have all the countries, like, you know, they speak. And you have to see it then to understand it. You should YouTube it. But it's pretty cool. They have something from every country at the end that they speak from. So I really enjoy it.
It's pretty awesome that they have these different shows. And, yeah, I was just thinking about that when John said that. It is, you know, and I'm thinking back to the Halloween, like for Hallow Wishes, how they have more oranges and purples and, you know, the Halloween colors on some, not all, but some of the fireworks and stuff. It's just pretty amazing how they can figure that all out and choreograph that to music and all that good stuff. It's pretty amazing.
No, absolutely. I love it at Christmas time. I know you say food and wine's your favorite, Dan, but I don't think you can say it until you actually experience. I think he's going to be pleasantly surprised at Christmas time, isn't he, John?
I'm sure he knows he would love it. I still don't know if it would beat food and wine for him, but regardless, even if it doesn't beat food and wine, you're still going to have a great time. So,
yeah. Well, we're going next year, so we will see.
I'm a betting man, and I'm thinking that he's going to like it more than food and wine. I'm just saying. The thing of it is, Dan, I think you're going to like it more than food and wine, especially now at the age you are, being an old man like me.
Yeah.
But the thing that you're going to like it more is, I think it's because it's going to be something so new to you that it's going to blow you away how awesome it is. So I think that might influence you too.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking because, now that I've done food and wine so many times, you're right. Something new might, you know, knock it off its peg, but we'll see. We'll keep an open mind.
Yeah, when you go to all the resorts, am I lying, John? How beautiful are the decorations at each individual resort? That's what takes it over the top.
Yeah, and it's really cool. Everyone is themed specifically to that resort. Even you were talking about Animal Kingdom Lodge last week or on last show and stuff, and all the decorations are themed specific to the resort you're at. So it's really quite in depth the amount of work that they do to really make you really take you to that theming. So it's really awesome.
And then also, like, even like at Riverside, I always go to Bangers and Mash in Riverside every episode. But even when you're in Riverside, where the River Roost Lounge and then the Christmas tree is right there, Dan, in the lobby.
Yep.
It just, there's the whole festivities with the Yeehaw Bob show. He'll do Christmas songs and stuff like that. It adds a whole different atmosphere to it, which is really awesome.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like you say, it's not just, you know, Main Street USA, but you got the resorts and, you know, even mentioning Bob and all those little things together make for a, you know, a whole different experience, you know, almost no matter where you go down there, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Now Disney Springs even has the Christmas tree walkway.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you're jonesing for food and wine, just go to Disney Springs at nighttime with all the kiosks there. And with the Christmas tree walkway with all the lights and the partying going on, I don't see how it won't beat it. Yeah. I'm a betting man. I'm going to be there next year to just say I told you so.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll work out well.
I'm going to be right there going, ah, ha, ha.
Told you.
Yeah. What's next, brother?
Yeah, Gasparilla Island Grill opens after 2-month refurbishment. The Grand Floridian's Gasparilla Island Grill opened yesterday, which was earlier in the week to those listening. Changes to the restaurant are minimal since a major refurbishment was done just a few years ago. An updated menu along with a Coca-Cola freestyle machine are among the main guest-facing changes. Gasparilla Island Grill is open 24/7 daily, with hot breakfast until 11 and made-to-order items until 11:30. Wow, they live highfalutin over there at the Grand Floridian. Outside of that time frame, grab-and-go items are available. John, did you when you stayed there? Did you was this place closed when you were there?
No. Actually, it was the last month it was open or something before the refurbishment. Yeah, we went over there, got breakfast one morning, and got my son his. My son's a real in-depth eater. When at Walt Disney World, I want a cheeseburger, and a cheeseburger. That's all he gets from the places. So, yeah, we got him a cheeseburger from there. But, yeah, like I mentioned to you guys, we were there at the DVC rooms, and Captain Cook's was as close as this place was. So it was a toss-up of which one to walk to. So.
That's funny. Now, that's interesting, though, that it's open 24/7. I mean, I'd like to have that at Riverside or something. That'd be pretty awesome.
No, it would be because I don't – we've said this a million times, but I don't – they shouldn't close at 11 o'clock. Sometimes it's like 10:30. I mean, it seems like 10, 11 o'clock. I think that's way too early, especially when the parks are open to 1 a.m. There's times where I'd like to come back and eat something.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I can remember ranting and raving, sitting on one of those couches in the River Roost there, and, you know, they got that, you know, that wooden wall there that they close up to get into Fulton's store, and I don't know, it just kind of kills your whole mood when you see the cast members, you know, locking up, and, you know, they want to go home, and I get it. I'm not upset at them at all. They're just doing what they're told, but, you know, you would think they'd push it back, particularly if only to line up with the park schedules, Doug. Because you're right. If you're over at the Magic Kingdom at midnight or after and you come back and maybe you want a soda or a coffee or a cupcake, who knows, whatever you want. I mean, you're doing things differently and at different times, but it's kind of depressing to me when you come back to your resort and everything's closed up and the lights are off and you just got to head on to your room and that's it.
Now, did you guys hear that story or read that story? I think our buddy Pat Giannetti posted on his Twitter account. I think it was from WDW Today. Because I was reading through it at lunch today or break today this morning. And they're at the Magic Kingdom, they're cutting off, and I think maybe at the studios too, but I'm not sure, but I know it's Magic Kingdom. But during this week, all the large drinks have come off the menu. Did you guys see anything about that?
I did, and I was trying to decipher whether it was a gag or a joke or whether it was real, and I didn't come to a determination. But I did see it, yes.
Yeah, I think it is real, but and I kind of get what they were saying. I think they're trying to expedite the orders. And I hope it's not true what they're saying as far as a lot of people buy a large drink and split it, so Disney's realizing that, so they don't want to sell the large no more, so you have to buy two mediums, which is only 30 cents cheaper. So you have to buy two drinks instead of one, but I don't know. But they're trying to say what their rumors are right now is they took the large drinks off the menu. They're thinking it was just for the holiday, so it takes away some decisions to make the lines go faster.
Right. Yeah, I don't really have a response. I mean, you know, I don't know what to say, to be honest with you. I mean, they've had large drinks for how long? Now all of a sudden it's a problem.
How many things do we get with Disney? And the only reason we notice is because we pay so much attention to it. So I'm not going on a rant. It's Christmas time. I'm being nice. I'm being calm. But there's so many things that go on like this that we have no idea what the reason is for.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds plausible to me. I mean, yeah, maybe they don't like people splitting drinks and, you know, they can make more money the other way or, you know, it's – I don't know. I mean, they're always fiddling around with stuff though, right? I mean, right, the resort mugs and, you know, they put their little chips in them and they're always monkeying around with stuff. So we'll see if we get our large soft drink cups back. I mean, I never get a large, so it – doesn't affect me, I guess, personally, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm kind of bummed out, too, because I read online a lot of people are saying how fast the annual pass lines are.
Oh, boy.
No, and that's fine. I'm not going off on that. But I'm kind of bummed because John now tomorrow can't use his because he's blacked out. I was just curious how fast they were. We can't even get the first-hand view because you're blacked out for what, 8 days, John?
Yeah, I think it's something like 10 days or something. It started, I think, they were good last weekend, so I think it might have started today, and then it's through the weekend of the New Year's. And to tell you the truth, well, I know you hate the phrase.
Yeah,
but,
I know. You're lying to me all the other time. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, the way it is, the way we tour the parks, for the most part, we would have no interest in going out there tomorrow to actually go into the parks anyway, just because it would be so packed. It felt like we wanted to go this year. It was probably the first time, and we looked at it and went, no, we can't. So, but Disney Springs will be a nice diversion for a couple hours, and we'll probably play miniature golf at the end of the night. So,
It's going to force you to do some other stuff, and it might be an interesting trip over there to see what you ultimately end up doing.
So how many days on your pass you actually blacked out for? I know you're blacked out for 4th of July too, aren't you?
I don't think so. I don't think it was the 4th, but there's 1 week in, I think it's Easter week, the week before or the week after Easter, and then it's these 2 weeks right here at Christmas, and I think that was it. We have the gold pass. My son's got the seasonal, well, what used to be the seasonal pass, so he can't go most of the summer, and then I think a longer section of time in the spring and here at Christmas, but he doesn't show much interest in going at all anymore anyway. So.
I was going to claim child abuse then, John. You got him a lesser pass than you. Shame on you.
Now yeah.
You would love him to be there with you. I know you would. I was disappointed we didn't get to meet him the last trip.
No, he's at that age, so he's got more important things to do than going to the parks with his parents anymore. So.
Yeah, you probably got another 4 or 5 years, maybe a little longer, until he meets his significant other, and then it'll be cool to go back to the park again.
Oh, I hope he finds some girlfriend or wife, you know, fiance that loves the parks and just drags him all over. It'd be great. So.
Yeah. Hopefully she doesn't like Universal, though.
We can't have that, or Busch Gardens or something like that.
Right.
Oh, my God. One of the guys, Paul, at my work, and you'd have to know him to know him. And I love you, Paul, but, you know, you're nuts. But anyway, he's going on and on. He took his kid to Disney World a few years back. And then he's telling me, I like Disney and all, but you should see Busch Gardens. It is so much better, he's telling me. And I go to him. I said, listen, Paul, I love you as a friend on the job site, but if you're going to go there, we have nothing to discuss here. I'm like, if that's what you believe, I cannot even – I said it's like a Republican and a Democrat. I am going to get nowhere with you. I can't just believe those words. Yeah, I said, I can't believe those words just came out of your mouth. He's going, you got to see Busch Gardens next time you get in there. I said, I don't got to. I will not. Oh, my goodness. I just couldn't believe those words came out of his mouth. I was like, shame on you.
Yeah. Well, from my standpoint, I've lived here my entire life. I've been to Busch Gardens quite a few times. I've been to Disney countless times. Busch Gardens is a nice diversion, and it's a pretty mm-hmm. park. I mean, they do a nice job. Some of the animal exhibits are pretty interesting, but they do nothing of the theming that Animal Kingdom does. It's the theming is nowhere near as extensive.
I'm sure it's very, very nice. But that would be like the guy saying, listen, Picasso sucks. You should see this painting from so-and-so. Yeah, I'm sure the painting from so-and-so is good. But this is Picasso, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know. I just couldn't believe these. I'm looking at him like, what is wrong with you, man?
I've been to Busch Gardens a couple times too. Actually, back when they used to have one of the teams of Clydesdales there, you know, the Budweiser, back when Budweiser actually owned the parks and all that stuff.
Yep.
But I agree with John. I mean, it is like a little diversion, but there were some cool things there. But I would never, ever, ever in the same breath say that it rivals Disney or, you know, it's on my living list type thing. If you ever got the chance, I would say, Doug, definitely see it. It's cool.
Oh, absolutely. Dan, when we're down there, I mean, it's awesome. But it'd be like, yeah, the Beatles are okay, but the Jonas Brothers are the ones you got to go see. I mean, people who like the Jonas Brothers, that's great. They're a good band. They're good if you like them. I'm not saying it's bad. But to try to tell me that the Jonas Brothers are better than the Beatles, and I'm not even the biggest Beatle fan in the world, but I appreciate who the Beatles were. It's like, right, this guy's trying to tell me that Busch Gardens is better than Disney World. I can't even argue with you. I'm over it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The first time I went there, I was probably 10 or 11, and I was on one side of Busch Gardens on one of the pathways, and I'm looking through the chain link fence, and you could see the cars driving by on Busch Boulevard, and it amazed me because as a kid, I grew up at Disney, and you don't see that type of thing. So it totally spoiled the illusion, because how when you're at Disney, you're in the bubble, and especially if you're at the Magic Kingdom or Epcot or Animal Kingdom, you for a little bit you can think that you are in France or you are in Africa, and to turn around from the gorilla exhibit and see, you know, a traffic jam on Busch Boulevard, it's not the same thing. It really isn't.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's exactly what drove Walt. That's what exactly made Walt buy Walt Disney World for that exact reason. We got to make this train point into the park. You got to have the cars point into the park because we don't want them seeing the boulevard with the shiny neon lights that everybody and their brother bought around me. Thank goodness that's how we got Disney World.
Right, not in a strange way, but in an actual way. If that didn't happen, we might never build another Magic Kingdom on the East Coast, and we wouldn't be doing this. So that's a good thing that the people did that.
Yeah, we seriously drink the Kool-Aid. What's up next on the news list, then?
Yeah, it's a little Christmas week entertainment lineup for the Magic Kingdom. With the conclusion of Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party on the 22nd, the park will offer much of its holiday entertainment during regular hours. Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration, A Totally Tomorrowland Christmas, Voice Play, and Holiday Wishes will all begin on December 23rd and run through December 31st. On December 30th and 31st, Fantasy in the Sky, New Year's Eve fireworks will be shown along with the Holiday Wishes New Year's celebration. The Magic Kingdom Christmas entertainment schedule, Voice Play will be at 3:10, p.m., 4:10, 5:15, and 6 p.m., December 23rd to the 28th. Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, 12 p.m., and then again at 3:30 p.m. A Totally Tomorrowland Christmas shows between 3:40 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Then you got Holiday Wishes, 9 p.m. on December 23rd through the to the 29th. Holiday Wishes New Year's Celebration, 7:30 p.m. on December 30 and 31st. Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration, 7:15 p.m., 8:15, 10:15, and 11:15, December 23rd through the 29th. Wow, you think they're crowded? 6:50 p.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m. on December 30th and 31st. And then Fantasy in the Sky Fireworks at 11:50 p.m. on the 30th and 31st. So, wow, with all those times running, there must be just massive people there.
Nah, they're, you better believe that, Dan. I mean, I like I said, I did 4th of July, and I couldn't imagine what Christmas is like. I just, the week or the day of or the week of Christmas, we're going the first week. I think that's when you're going, aren't you, Dan?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is the first week of the when they turn over to the Christmas stuff. Yep.
Yeah, that's the best time. I mean, I'm glad they have all these shows, but you could tell it's going to be mobbed. Have you ever been in there around the few days of Christmas, John?
No, even when we had passes that allowed us in at the times, I don't want to put myself into that. I mean, it's a lot nicer going a couple of weeks before Christmas and seeing everything in that time. But what Doug, what he just all read there, because all that entertainment is now available without going to the Christmas party, is why my passes aren't good right now. Because if I wanted to see that, I had to have gone to the Christmas party. They don't want me to go see that for free without paying to go to the Christmas party. That would be why they're not good right now. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that would not go over well.
Now, God forbid you get something for free.
Right. Can't have that.
After you go all those other days a year, John.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, let's see here. Newly expanded ferry boat dock entrance to the Magic Kingdom. As part of improvements being made to the entrance and security areas at the Magic Kingdom, a newly expanded ferry boat dock is now in operation. A new entrance and exit can be found much closer to the watercraft docks, directly across from the main Magic Kingdom entrance. Likely to be later used for additional security screening checkpoints, a large empty space has also been carved out of a previous grassy area. The long-term plan is thought to move security screening away from the entrance and provide dedicated areas for each mode of guest transport. Actually, that makes a lot of sense, to get all that traffic out from directly in front of the Magic Kingdom and bring it down, towards the water there. That makes perfect sense to me.
Oh, absolutely, because I think I mean, as crazy as it sounds, but when you're down there for vacation, you want more photo ops. And I think with the way it's been lately, it's so crowded when you're checking in early in the morning. It's hard to take pictures of the train station in front of the Magic Kingdom because of everything. The crowds are so bad, it's all you see. It's like it overwhelms the front of the Magic Kingdom, in my opinion.
Yeah. I totally agree, Doug, and that's what I'm saying. Bring it out and put it, this story sites. It'll take a little bit of the water away, but they've apparently built out there. And you're right, it does take away from the front. And then the few spaces that are available, they got the fast pass photographers there, so you don't have a chance with your own camera to get a picture of your wife or the family or whatever. It's pretty tough sledding there. So this will alleviate some of the massive humanity gathering right around the front gates there.
See, my argument was not an argument, or my rant was, I'm just kidding. No, my thing is what I would like to see them do, and maybe I'm crazy, but maybe they ought to set something up before you get on the monorail, before you get on the ferry boat. Maybe they screen you in the parking lot somewhere. So when you, after you're off the ferry, you can just go into the park. Why don't they set something up where they can screen your bags before you get on the boats?
Yeah, I don't know. How would they keep track of you, though? How do they know you?
I mean, once you're on the boat, you're on the boat. Where are you going? Where are you going to get any contraband or anything else once you're on that boat? You're being taken to the Magic Kingdom. The same thing with the monorail. Once you're on there, right, you're being taken. I mean, at the TTA, I know they can't do it at the Contemporary. Or I mean, they probably could. They could have an area like when – now you're walking up to Contemporary. What would stop them in that line? Now you're standing there waiting, doing absolutely nothing sometimes for 15, 20 minutes, waiting for the monorail to come. How about they scan your bag there?
Right, but I'm trying to grasp my head around. But how would the people at the Magic Kingdom know you've already been scanned?
Because everybody going there is already scanned before you get on the bus or the monorail. Like, there's no way to get to that Magic Kingdom. Without, the only way you could is if you park at the Contemporary and walk over.
Right.
So that, maybe they scan your Magic Band. And it's told that you've already been scanned for the day.
Yeah, that could be. That might work, yeah.
You understand? I'm just trying to – this way everything isn't, like, bottlenecked at the front of the park. Maybe before you get on any of the transportation or get around the park, you get checked out. Like, even at the back entrance going in World Show – I mean, in International Gateway. They should maybe do it a little further down before you get up to the – that whole area up there. I mean, there's so much space down there. Why do they make you bottleneck in that
My guess is, thinking quick while you're saying that, is that they'd be afraid that somehow you'd get – somebody could pass you contraband between the time you checked and you get to the front of wherever you're going, whatever park. You know what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying. You could be scanned, but, you know, if you went too far away, there could be a chance that you could have set it up with somebody to give you a backpack in the bushes, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's my guess is why they don't do it that way. But no, I think with technology the way it is, that probably something like you're saying is probably coming sooner than later.
Yeah, because even the walkway there, maybe not how you can only walk from the Contemporary over there. Just have somebody waiting at the end of that walkway to scan you coming in and have them there. Because that's the only place you would need it. Everywhere else, the buses, before you get on a resort, have somebody at each resort to scan you before you hop on the bus.
Yeah,
I mean, because everything else leads to the front of all the parks. It's just the bottleneck there. If you dispersed it throughout all – like how many times you sat at the bus stop waiting for the bus? That would be a perfect time for you to look at my bag. I mean, if somebody was there.
That's true.
And then once you're on the bus, you're on the bus. Where are you going to get something? You get dropped off at the front of the park.
Right. And if you didn't go in the park, that wouldn't be a big deal. Who cares? And if you did, you were already scanned.
Exactly. But that's my point. I think they could use – I'm just trying to look at ways to use your – you know, use the wasted time more useful, right, if that makes sense to you guys.
Yep. Because God knows if you're taking the buses, you got plenty of that.
No, because at the Wilderness Lodge, before you hop on the boat, they scan your bag. What are you going to do, grab a bag out of the water?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but you get what I'm saying. It would be nice if they dispersed it a little more instead of having that whole bottleneck at the front of the Magic Kingdom or any of the parks, to say.
Yeah, I mean, Epcot gets a little rough there, when you, especially when the monorail just dumps off, and it can be a little – well, all of the parks for that matter. But
before you even get on at the TTA there, you get scanned at the TTA.
Scanners for everyone.
Exactly. Go ahead. What's next, partner?
Not a whole lot. There's some overview construction of the Hollywood Studios Toy Story Land here. In this week's final series of aerial photos, a bunch of photos here, a look at the construction of Toy Story Land at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Located behind the existing Toy Story Mania on much of the former backlot tour area, the 11-acre land will transport you into an adventurous outdoors of Andy's backyard. In the image, you can't see it. Toy Story Land is in the lower left of the upcoming Star Wars Land on the upper right. The family coaster Slinky Dog Dash features a coaster track that Andy has built all over his backyard using his Mega Coaster Play Kit. On Slinky Dog Dash, you will zip, dodge, and dash around many turns and drops that Andy created to really make Slinky and his coil stretch to his limits. the loading area, maintenance building, and preparations for the track. They're showing pictures of this, and it looks like a picture of the moon serpents to me, anyways. It's just some concept art of Toy Story. But I'm glad to see this story. I think you mentioned it last week, Doug, that we haven't heard boo about this land at all. And here we go. We get some information the next week. Let's see. In another area, they're going to have the alien swirling saucers. This spinning ride is designed as a toy playset that Andy got from Pizza Planet, inspired by the first Toy Story film. Aliens are flying around in their own toy flying saucers and trying to capture your
That's what I was going to say. It looks like flying saucers.
Yeah, with the
teacups. The teacups is basically what it is that are called flying saucers.
Yep. Well, I won't be going on that one.
No.
No spinny.
No, not for me. But yeah, these things are looking cool. They're starting to, you know, gradually being transformed from artist renderings to actual, you know, real life things in the park. So it's coming along.
No, I can't wait to go on Slinky Dog. The other one, yeah. No. But did you to continue this? The Star Wars Land, they have bird's eye view of that. That looks really awesome.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The Star Wars Land is twice the size of Toy Story Land, and I'm not happy about it.
I got no comment.
I'll tell you what. I mean, by the square footage and looking at it, Star Wars Land looks like it's three times the size, if not four, of Toy Story Land. Toy Story Land got the little cul-de-sac in the back corner, and then Star Wars Land got everything else.
Yeah, I think it just has such a larger audience, and you know, it's. I'm not saying it's justified because I think Toy Story is a huge franchise with Disney, but I think that Star Wars. I mean, there's people coming to Disney parks or will be coming to Disney parks, and probably has said they've hated Disney and didn't want to have anything to do with them. But now that they own the Star Wars franchise and they're doing all this great stuff, you're going to see people at the Disney parks that have never been before. Adults, you know, don't you think?
Yeah, I think, and I stay away. I want to go to Toy Story Land.
When you can go to Toy Story Land, I'll be over at Star Wars Land. So.
You'll be with the cool Chewbacca kind of kids, right?
There you go.
I'll be hanging with Buzz. You'll be hanging with Chewie. No, I'm happy, dude. I can't wait to see it all. And have you guys seen the mountains and everything with Pandora? Did you see the pictures of that?
I did. I saw some of the still photos. Was it yesterday they popped or earlier in the week? But yes.
Goodness! How awesome does that mountain look, Dan?
Yeah, it's floating mountains. I mean, we've seen them for a while now, but just that one shot, and you know, you really can't get any perspective. But these latest aerial photos have really they've come a long way, and spring is coming.
I mean, that whole area, that is huge, that whole area with the floating mountain, that whole, it's like a big wall. And then there's all these, if you look at the pictures, there's all these big sewer lines on the roof of that building there, and I want to know what they're going to do.
Yeah, you know, I have no idea, but.
Yeah, they're pushing some water somewhere. I think that's the whole boat ride. Now they talk about that boat ride that they're going to have.
Yeah.
I think that has to do with the boat ride. All those tubes, those sewer lines of water. I'm excited to see what the heck this is.
Yeah,
I mean, the more I see the photos of this, the more excited I am about Pandora.
Yeah, I just can't wait to get in there. It's just, man, we've been talking about it for so long. It's going to be awesome to get in there.
Yeah, I tried to break the bridge at Tiffin's, but they wouldn't let me.
Yeah. What else? Do we got anything else? Christmas Day religious services at Walt Disney World. Let me mention this in case there's people that want to go to Mass. Disney's Contemporary Resort will once again be hosting religious services for Christmas Day in the Fantasia Ballroom. Catholic Mass is at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Protestant service is at 9:15 a.m. Parking at the Contemporary will be restricted, so if you are staying at a monorail resort, take the monorail or boat service. If you are staying at another resort, you can take normal transportation to the Magic Kingdom and then take a bus, monorail, boat, or walkway to the Contemporary. Monorail and Watercraft Transportation will begin at 7 a.m. on Christmas Day. So if you want to partake in the services at Walt Disney World and you're down there, you can do that.
No, I mean, it's good that they have that stuff. And to go back to the other story, though, about the checking of the bags and stuff like that, wouldn't you guys feel a lot safer, too, if, like, all the bags were checked before you got on the bus, the monorail, or the boat?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right, because, you know, you hate to say it, but if something was to happen, it's probably exactly what would happen. They wouldn't do it where all the security is. They're going to look for the weak link in the place, and something like what you just said would be the an opportunity, you know. It would present an opportunity, let me put it that way.
Yeah, so Disney, yeah, check us before we get on to save us some time and save us, you know, save us.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I just saw it was on Facebook. There was a new Disney, I'm sure you guys have seen it. They're talking about the Disney, how big is Disney World, and it's the size of two Manhattans and all this stuff. It's like a little infomercial type thing. But anyways, if you haven't seen it, you will see it. But I was just going to say, though, I mean, you know, to have security for a place that's that big, it's just must be daunting to even think about. And they do it every day, and knock on wood, they've done a great job to now. And you know, there's been no major incidents, and I hope it stays like that forever and ever. But, you know, I'm just saying, it's with all those millions of people every year going to
it's phenomenal how they do it.
Think about it. I mean, you know, and, you know, I think about it in my mind, like driving into the resorts and how you can get going and, you know, all the people that can come and go out of that place with without any, well, we think we're not being watched, but I'm sure we are.
Oh, dude, they've seen some ugly pictures of me all over that place.
Exactly. But
yeah, you think about it, and the most annoying thing I've ever ran into was people giving out pizza coupons at one of the resorts one time. I mean, that's the one person that I ran into that was flaunting the Disney security. Other than that, it's pretty nailed down. So.
No, they do a phenomenal job, and I wish we were all there for Christmas this year with all of our families. It would be a great time, but hopefully next year, Dan.
Yeah, next year. We'll, not for Christmas Day, but certainly for the holiday season, that's for sure.
Well, we have to get down there early in December so John's allowed in, you know, so any one of his blackout dates, you know.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you guys wouldn't enjoy going these 2 weeks either. So, you know, no, given the choice, you'd probably rather be there beginning of December. So.
Hey, John, I'm going to have the same pass as you, buddy. I'd be meeting you. I'd be honestly meeting you at the boathouse tomorrow if I was going to see you. I wouldn't be in the parks either. Trust me.
Yeah, I think my pass is about $150 or $175 cheaper than the gold pass, and I don't need to spend that for 2 extra weeks at Christmas. So.
No, okay. And not to deal with that aggravation. And you're gonna have just as much.
That's what we have, but
you'll have just as much fun at the Springs.
Yeah. So, well, we're gonna go down there. We're gonna see how crowded that is. Yeah.
It won't really matter. You already have reservations for the boathouse. How bad could it be?
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
Do you have any?
No.
I was just gonna say, do you have any ideas on what else you might do other than? I know the boathouse will be probably the highlight of the afternoon, but you any other thoughts on what you might tackle while you're banned from the parks or the four main parks for the day?
We'll probably just head down there and wander around mostly for a couple of hours. There's a lot of stores down there that they won't even allow me to go inside. So
I can't say I blame them. I don't blame them, John. Those.
But we'll spend, I imagine, freaking an hour just walking around the world of Disney like always. And we'll check out the store, the T-Rex and all that stuff. And I don't know, if we get a chance, I might drag my wife over to one or two of the resorts to look at. Maybe take the boat down to Port Orleans, look at it, and, you know, that type of stuff.
There you go.
So.
That'd be a nice little ride.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So. Head over to the Gurgling Suitcase or something. Have a nice beer and relax.
Hey, John, if you're there late enough, maybe you go up and see Yeehaw Bob.
That's on the living list for me. So
yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John. No, go ahead, John.
I don't want to put it all on her, but it's more of the wife than me. She's not a big fan of live entertainment, and she claims that she has sensitive ears and all this stuff. So, yeah, it's a matter of talking her into seeing that type of stuff. So.
Yeah, I'm going to tell her to listen to the 122 mark of this week's show as you blame her for not seeing Yeehaw Bob. But no, head on up and see that you should. If you do go there, take plenty of pictures, John.
All right.
I want to see the Riverside tree. But good then.
What you might be able to do, John, is, you know, as a compromise, say, look, we won't go into the River Roost, but you could probably stand in the lobby, right, Doug? Right?
Absolutely.
You go in and you can see him from afar and obviously hear him, but not be right up in there where you have to worry about her sensitive ears.
Well, you know what she's done to me. She's got this whole thing with, she knows that I want to go see that show really bad. Oh yeah, you know what? You can see him the next time we're staying there, and I'll just hang out in the room. And yeah, but hey, we have DVC points. We don't need to. Really? So now she's got me to a point where I'm gonna have to stay a night or two.
You poor guy, you poor baby. No, but yeah, you should if you can get a chance. Have you gone over to see the Gingerbread House yet this year at Grand Floridian?
No, I think if anything, we'll probably end up at Animal Kingdom Lodge tomorrow because we can spend a couple of hours just wandering around there and see the tree and go out and check the animals out. And so,
like you're going to have a good time. I'm going to have a good time too tomorrow. I'm baking cookies all day with my wife, so I'm looking forward to that. No, I'm not. Yeah. Why are you laughing? That's a cool thing.
Oh, I know you are. I bet you bought an apron when you went down there.
I bought two aprons.
I know. You told me that. That's why I was laughing. I could picture you and your wife in your aprons making chocolate chip cookies.
Yep, and I'm very proud of it. Last Christmas, we had a little sad Christmas. We had some things with the family, and my wife was kind of down, and she said, "We're not making cookies. I'm not into it, blah, blah, blah." So the house just didn't seem right without it. So I decided I was going to bake cookies myself. And I baked not one, not two, not three, but four different kinds of cookies I baked on my own last year. And they were good. But the sad part of it is now it's tradition around. So yeah. No good deeds goes unserved. You know what I'm saying? Now it's tradition. So now I got to help bake cookies every year.
There are worse things you could be doing.
No, everything is good. The family's good. I'm happy to be doing it. I'm going to have some fun. The only problem is I'll be waiting until noon so I can have my first beer because I'm not allowed to drink before that. I'm not John.
It's Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So I'll open Christmas. So.
Okay, all rules go to the wind, right?
At least a little eggnog, eggnog with brandy or something or other.
Listen to Dan up with the recipes.
You know, I've always been under the assumption that, let me think, there's the flea market, deep sea fishing, the golf course, and Disney World. You're allowed to have beer before noon with no problems.
Yeah. So. At the Animal Kingdom. You get Bloody Marys at 7 o'clock in the morning over there.
Exactly. I mean, most of the restaurants serve you some kind of Bloody Mary for a breakfast drink if you really wanted one. So.
Yep.
Well, I'm in. I'm in, guys. But no, this has been a lot of fun. We want to wish everybody a very safe and happy holiday from us at WDW Main Street. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all that good stuff. Right, Dan?
Yep. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas to everybody, and have a safe one, and spend some time with your family, and enjoy the holidays.
And by the way, Star Wars was awesome. Yeah, I know you guys were so interested. Yeah.
Oh, jeez, we didn't even ask.
How was that movie? But okay.
You're the Star Wars correspondent, so you're supposed to bring up this. You didn't bring it up in the big pre-show meeting that we had. You didn't say anything about it. So did you enjoy it, even though you don't want to wish everybody Merry Christmas? Tell us how great Star Wars was real quick.
The first 40 minutes of it was kind of slow. It took a while to get the stories developed, but the last probably hour and 10 minutes was probably some of the best Star Wars geeky action that I've ever seen, so it was a blast.
Well, no. Thank God it wasn't a first date, because if you were dull for the first 40 minutes, I don't think you're going to make the make it any further than that. So, I don't know, John. Wish everybody a Merry Christmas, buddy.
Everybody have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, a Happy Kwanzaa, a Happy Festivus, and a Happy Hanukkah. So.
Yeah, I got my silver tree.
I got them all, so.
I got my silver tree, John.
There you go. So, yeah. Oh, that we were supposed to do that. You're supposed to air your grievances, right?
Yeah. We'll air
we do that every week. So.
Yeah, we do. We'll air our grievances on next Sunday show, on the New Year's show. But everybody have a Merry Christmas. And please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. That would be a great Christmas present. And you can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow John at Beer Solo and the Weekly Pint. You can follow our good buddy Bob, who wishes you all Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that good stuff, at It's All in WDW. And you can find me at Good Old Grumpy 6767. And you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Please be kind to each other and have a great, great, great week. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow and snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll be going out of the storm. But if you really grab me tight, way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.